Let's have a prayer of illumination from the scriptures. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, you have heard our prayers throughout this evening. You have accepted our singing and our praise unto you, O Lord. And now, Lord, we hunger and thirst for your word, your final word for this evening. We pray, O Lord, that you would bless the reading of your word and that you would have us, Father, to learn many things that are in these verses that we are about to read, O Lord. Help us to obey these words, O Lord, and to put them upon our hearts. May they bear much fruit. May they go about us, Father, as we go about our days. May they be upon our minds, our hearts, and our souls, O Lord. For this is something that we should do, and this is something that we should obey you for as we seek to know you more, Lord, and we seek to worship you in spirit and in truth. Be with us during this time, O Lord. Hear us. We pray this in Christ. Amen. Let us rise as we hear a word from the Lord. The word of the Lord comes from the book of Habakkuk. The preached word will be verses 2-4, but I'm going to start in verse 1. May we meekly hear the word of the Lord. The oracle that Habakkuk the prophet saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help, and you will not hear, or cry to you violence, and you will not save? Why do you make me see iniquity, and why do you idly look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me, strife and contention arise. So the law, that is the Torah, is paralyzed, and justice never goes forth, for the wicked surround the righteous, so justice goes forth perverted. Amen. That is the reading of God's words. Please be seated. Last time we were in the book of Habakkuk, we looked at one verse, and that was the first verse, the oracle that Habakkuk the prophet saw. And we learn from there that the Lord calls his servants to give his message to his people. But the verses that we have before us is something that is very challenging in our day. And it should convict us of our negligence. It should convict us of how we have turned away from being obedient to the Lord. This is probably one of the saddest verses and challenging verses for us in this place and time. And if you do not see that, I hope and pray that you will see that by the end of this sermon. The teaching is simple, for even children can understand this teaching. The teaching is you are to lament to God when his people are practicing sin. We will see 2 points. God sometimes gives his people over to their sins. And the second point, the godly will lament to God over the sins of his people. Those are the 2 points. So point number one, God sometimes gives his people over to their sin. Apostasy by God's people can go over quite a long time. In Habakkuk's day, most likely, it was at least 11 years of apostasy that was in Judah from the wicked kings, the sons of Josiah, the wicked kings that came after him. The sons of Josiah, remember last time when we were in the book of Habakkuk that we discussed the background of this. Josiah started off with a reformation in his own day, tearing down all the idols, all the idolatry. But it was short-lived. The people's hearts ended up not being changed. And then after that, his sons turned the people away from following the Lord. That's how quickly sometimes a reformation can come, because hearts of the people have to be changed. There has to be a regeneration coming from the Holy Spirit. And so Jeremiah, who is one of the Habakkuk's, one of the prophets during those times as well, Jeremiah speaks of the disobedience that was a part of God's people and the disobedience of the kings during that day. You will see that in Jeremiah 22. We don't have time to go to it, but that's something that you can read on this Lord's Day, that Jeremiah brings this out, the sons of Josiah giving the people over to idolatry, worshiping wickedness and having injustice amongst all the people. But all the prophets address the apostasy for people that went on for years and years. Isaiah, Micah, Zechariah, Zephaniah, all the prophets did this. They all addressed the apostasy of God's people. But what does Habakkuk see? What does he see in this passage? The names that he sees, the name of the things that he sees is iniquity, destruction, violence, strife, contention. Does that not sound familiar to you even in our own day? Iniquity, destruction, violence, strife, contention. The violence that Habakkuk sees is not the sins, not the violence of God's enemies, but is God's people themselves. God is going to use the enemies of God to chastise his people. We will find that out as we move forward in this prophecy of Habakkuk. So this cannot be just God's enemies doing these things. It's God's people who are doing these things. Understand that. Habakkuk is complaining about the people's unfaithfulness to the covenant. And again, all the prophets speak of this. All the prophets, that's what they do. They go towards the Lord's people and tell them some of the faults, some of the things that they are doing in their own day. Again, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 21 to 23. This is Isaiah talking about God's people. How the faithful city has become a whore. She who was full of justice, righteousness lodged in her, but now murderers. Your silver has become dross, your best wine mixed with water. Your princes are rebels and companions of thieves. Everyone loves a bribe and runs after gifts. They do not bring justice to the fatherless, and the widow's cause does not come to them. That is exactly what Isaiah was seeing, even in his own day. And that is what Habakkuk is seeing amongst God's people. The consequences of sinfulness with God's people, all the consequences is division amongst God's people. Strife, contention, as in controversy, as if you go to the law to find justice and peace, and you find injustice and war and strife and bitterness. That is what happens when God's people turn away from the Lord. Fights between those who call upon the name of the Lord. Father against sons. Sons against their mother. Husband against wife. Strife everywhere. Nobody can get along. Nobody respects anybody. That is exactly what's going on. That is what Habakkuk is crying out. And why is this happening? Why does this happen? Well, all this is because the Torah, the law, is paralyzed. That is, in the Hebrew, numb. It has been made void. People do not pay attention to the law. What happens when the people do not pay attention to the law? When the law is not established in his church, it's not established amongst his people? This leads men to every kind of hardened sin towards one another. There are many ways that this happens, but I would give you two examples that are in here. When people annul the law, to carry out their own traditions. That's exactly what Josiah's sons did. They went back into the idolatry that Manasseh brought. They looked back into all the sinful idolatry. They looked back at all the things that Josiah tried to reform, but it did not work. And so that is what happens. You annul the commandments to carry out your own traditions. That's exactly what Jesus said in Mark 7, chapter 12, of the Pharisees in that day. The reason why the Pharisees were not showing mercy, as we talked about this morning, mercy to sinners. The number one thing, mercy, the first thing that Moses, when he asked to see the glory of the Lord, the first thing that God told him, first of all, you cannot see his glory. You would die. But the first thing he did reveal to him is that he is the Lord. And then the first attribute he told him is that I am merciful. But the Pharisees lost that. And that is the way of the law. That's the heart of the law. It's mercy, justice. And the Pharisees missed that. Why? Because they carried out their own traditions. They let their traditions annul the commandments of God. That's one reason. Another reason is making void the Torah through a so-called faith. True faith, saving faith, is accepting and resting on Jesus Christ and all that he gives to us. On Christ and is him being a king, a priest, and a prophet amongst his people. The whole Christ, not just his priesthood, but his kingliness. His him being a prophet amongst his people. That's exactly what's happening in Habakkuk. They are not accepting God for who he is. They are relying on sacrifices, the temple, the things that ultimately point to the Lord Jesus Christ and should convince them of their own sinfulness. But they relied on their so-called faith, and it's not true faith. And therefore, the law is paralyzed, and they cannot move forward. And there is strife, contention, and bitterness amongst God's people. That is what happens when you make void the Torah. That's why in Romans chapter 3, verse 11, Paul says, do we then overthrow the law by this faith? He says, by no means, or God forbid, in the King James translation. On the contrary, we uphold the law. We establish the law. That's why the people are not following the Lord, because the law is not established. They're relying on their own so-called faith, and it's not true faith. It's not saving faith. And so the law is paralyzed. What does this do? This leads to justice not being found amongst God's people. And that's terrible. That's frightening. The one place where you are to receive justice, to receive forgiveness and mercy, to see righteousness, and you do not find it amongst God's people. Wickedness prevails and outnumbers the righteous. You may seek appeal in courts only to have the decision to render it unjustly. That is what exactly is happening in Habakkuk's day. Justice is perverted. That's what he says. Justice is perverted. And the Lord has done this throughout all redemptive history. He allows this to happen throughout all redemptive history. Romans chapter 11, verse 7 through 8. What then? Israel failed to obtain what it was seeking. The elect obtained it, but the rest were hardened. As it is written, God gave them a spirit of stupor, eyes they would not see, and ears they would not hear, down to this very day. Remember what Jesus did in Matthew chapter 21, verse 18. We haven't gotten there yet in the book of Matthew. But Matthew chapter 21, verse 18 to 21. This is Jesus coming across to the fig tree. In the morning, as he was returning to the city, he became hungry. And seeing a fig tree by the wayside, he went to it and found nothing on it but only leaves. And he said to it, "May no fruit ever come from you again." And the fig tree withered at once. Now, this is not just about a fig tree. This is the time where he came in to Jerusalem. And the people did not bear fruit. Again, they did not show mercy. They did not show justice. And they carried on their own traditions. Moving on to verse 20. When the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, "How did the fig tree wither at once?" And Jesus answered them, "Truly, I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what has been done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, 'Be taken up and thrown into the sea,' it will happen." Remember, the context of this is judgment, chastisement upon God's people. But by that time, the people have gone away from the Lord. The people are not listening, except for a few. And there's just, that's why Jesus is in the predicament that he's in. Why are we in Matthew? Why they're not showing mercy to sinners? Because the law is paralyzed by traditions and by a so-called faith. But there's more to this even now. The Antichrist, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11, 12. "Therefore, God sends them a strong delusion," talking about the Antichrist, "so that they may believe what is false, in order that they all may be condemned who do not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." Why is the Antichrist here? Why did the Lord give this person for people to be deceived to? Why? It's because of this. They had pleasure in unrighteousness. The law is paralyzed. And so God gives them over. And that's why you have the Antichrist. But ultimately, all this is for God's glory. Again, there will be tares along with the wheat. There will be false sons in the pales of the church. And that's why God gives chastisements to his people. And that's why the Lord does this often, even throughout all redemptive history. And he does so for those who are really, truly trying to follow the Lord. He does so to humble them so they will depend on him more. And so they will seek him more and more each and every day in times of apostasy. So with these verses and with this first point, God sometimes gives his people over to their sins. What are we to take from this, even today? Well, one thing, we need to realize that there was one who was truly righteous, the Lord Jesus Christ. There was one who was surrounded by wickedness in his day. There was one who the law was paralyzed in his day. The Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled all these things. And he was the one that was surrounded by all these things. And he was the sinless one. Loving righteousness, loving God throughout all his days. And so all these things God will use for his church. Because ultimately, it was for our salvation and it was for our own good. Is for the salvation of his people. He endured so much. So much. And so this makes you want to rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. But we also need to realize this, that there is so much lawlessness amongst God's people. How many times do we see false worship, idolatry? How many times do we realize that the Lord's name is taken in vain? How many times do we see that people are not cherishing and drawing closer to the Lord on the Sabbath day. They call it Sunday fun day. It's sad. The people of old wouldn't even call this day Sunday. It's the Lord's day. How many times do we see people rejecting their leaders, not submitting to their parents, not recognizing equals amongst each other? How many times do we see that even in our day? Murder, strife, contention, anger towards one another. You go to church to find forgiveness. You go to church to find mercy, to find justice and injustice, anger, malice, shunning each other. People are not speaking to one another. That's the things that we see even in our own day. And that's committing murder, by the way. That's persecution. How much do we see pornography? People giving over to homosexuality. Sexual immorality is all around us. How many times do we see people stealing from one another, lying to each other, bearing false witness against each other? And nobody gives anybody any encouragement because we all covet one another. It's sad. And if you realize, I went down the Ten Commandments. And this is not the world. I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about the church. The church is performing these things. And Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, but understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying his power. That's what we have. That's what we have before us. And it should break our hearts. God's people are capable of this even unto this day. And do you yourself think the law is not to be established in this church? Do you think that? Some do. And that's the reason why you don't see some people here at Covenant anymore, because they felt the law should not be established, that the law shouldn't go forth along with the gospel. If you think this way about the law, then you should repent. Now is the time to repent, because the Lord has given us a spirit, the Holy Spirit, and we are to obey the Lord. Yeah, we're not going to be perfect, but we want to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. And so those are the things. God sometimes gives his people over to their sins. The second point, and this is the heart of this passage, really. The godly will lament to God, over the sins of his people. The godly, throughout all of history, express this lamentation, similar lamentations throughout biblical history. We see in Job, he declared injustice. He felt that he wasn't receiving justice because some of the things that he was going through. But he did lament. And so we are to lament as well. But we're having a Sunday school class on the Psalms. How many times do we see in the Psalms where people cry out, how long? Where they felt injustice throughout their day. When they felt the Lord is not answering their prayer. And so they're seeking him even more. Same thing Habakkuk is going through, even in his day. The lament and silence is that they hear. All they get is silence from the Lord. But the Lord eventually does answer. He eventually does break through. But it takes them persevering and pursuing the Lord. But again, the Psalms, Jesus lamented. Matthew chapter 17, verse 17. And Jesus answered, "O faithless and twisted generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you?" Jesus lamented amongst the sins of his own people, the unfaithfulness. They couldn't, after all the teaching, they couldn't cast out this demon. All the teachings, the power that he gave them. But they, in their unbelief, did not fast it, did not pray. And so they couldn't cast out. And he comes with this lament. The saints in heaven cry out, "How long?" You know, sometimes we comfort each other with the intermediate state. You know, when someone dies, they go to heaven. But realize this, even in heaven, there is a lament like this. We're waiting for the resurrection, by the way. It's not just the intermediate state. We're waiting for Jesus Christ to come back and clean these things up and save his people. But even in heaven, you see in the book of Revelation that people in heaven are crying out, "How long, O Lord? How long?" This lament is to be accepted. This lament is to be pursued. By the way, the first lament where we hear "how long" was from God himself. In Exodus chapter 16, verse 28, "And the Lord said to Moses, 'How long will you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws?'" The Lord laments. When you sin against God, you need to understand this. When you sin against God, it's not just some idea or theory. God is a person, and he is affected by this. He loves you, and he wants what's best for you, and he's jealous of you. That's why he cries out, "How long will you do this? How long? How long will you continue in this?" This is proof that this type of prayer is accepted and encouraged by the Lord. Some people think that we are, yes, in Scripture, it does say we are to rejoice always, but it also says that we should mourn for our sin. There are times where we are to lament to the Lord, and this is definitely a time to do today. But also, when you lament, you are to lament to God. You don't skip over. You don't skip over to go something else to lament to. You lament to God and God alone. God is to hear your lament. Only God's people can call upon his name. Habakkuk calls upon his name. He calls upon the name Jehovah, which is the name given in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. That he gives to Moses. He, the Lord, is the only one that can save. And don't let any other religion tell you otherwise. You cannot go to angels. You cannot go to the Virgin Mary. You cannot go to saints. You are to lament to God, because overall, he is the sovereign one. Nobody else knows anything. That's why the saints in heaven are crying out, "How long?" So Habakkuk, by him going to the Lord, he recognized his sovereignty. He recognized who he is. This is something commendable. This is something that we should do. And Habakkuk is obviously unique amongst the prophets, because he's calling down. It's almost like he's calling down chastisement. Like, "Lord, how long are you going to put up with this? How long are you going to let your people just experience this injustice? How long will you have the wicked along with the righteous, outnumbering the righteous? How long are you going to go through with this?" He knows that the people have violated the stipulations of the covenant of grace. That is Habakkuk. He knows they have violated. He knows this. And Habakkuk is confused. But unlike what we do when we are confused about the Lord's doing, we don't seek after entertainment. We don't seek to close it out, or go forward to something else. Habakkuk continues to pursue the Lord, continues to persevere in prayer. But what's the added reason for Habakkuk's frustration? We see it here, that the Lord has been silent. The Lord has been silent. We realize that in 1 Samuel chapter 8, which is the beginning of, you know, the Lord giving the people kings. 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 18. And in that day, you will cry out because of your king, whom you have chosen for yourselves, but the Lord will not answer you in that day. Some people are not going to hear from the Lord. They're going to get even more hardened. But good thing for Habakkuk, the Lord will hear him, and he will respond. And that's how it is for all of God's remnant. Some people, when they pray, they become even more hardened. Any ordinance, by the way, when they hear the preaching of the word, when they take part of the Lord's Supper, if they are not converted, and the Lord does not give them a spirit where they repent, they become even more hardened. Even more. And so that was the threat. However, for the godly, the Lord will use this for their good. And the reason why, it keeps them pursuing the Lord. The Lord will fulfill his promises. And he will do it. It may not come when we want it to, but ultimately, it will be fulfilled. So that's the second point. The godly will lament to God over the sins of his people. And so these final applications, we need to realize this, because this is the heart of this passage. Habakkuk is an example that we should cry out to the Lord for the sins of God's people. Men of God throughout all the ages have cried out to the Lord for the sins of God's people. What is this generation known for? Whenever we see the sins amongst God's people, we write blogs, we debate each other, we love debate, we love to criticize one another. Habakkuk lamented, and we ought to lament too. Most people want to look for joy, fun, getting together, and all this. And all those things are, we should pursue. There is sometimes we should experience joy. There is sometimes we are to have programs and things like that. But understand the plight of our day. We should be lamenting. The prayer meeting should be filled. The lawlessness. What are we going to be known for again? When the pages of church history are opened to this day and time, what is this church? What are churches known for in this day and time? When they see all this lawlessness, churches going bad, even our denomination are taking part in these sins. What are we known for? We should be longing to be known for lamenting for the sins of God's people and how we have played a part in this and how we need to ask for the Lord's forgiveness and has asked for the Lord's cleansing. So do tears flow from your eyes? Do tears flow from your eyes? Not only over the temporal things that happen in your life when you lose a loved one. Yes, that's sad. That's the misery of this life. But how many tears have you shed over the sins of God's people? The sins of the church, all the false doctrine, all the false teaching, the lawlessness. How long? If you have lamented, how long have you lamented? Habakkuk has been lamenting for at least 11 years. We must pursue this. We must pursue this. But we all are to intercede. That's the call. We are to intercede for the church. Habakkuk is an example of that. But understand this. As we lament and as we intercede for the church, again, Habakkuk is pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. He intercedes for his church. And that's why the church will always be here. And that's why there is time for repentance. And that's why denominations are changed. And that's why there are sins in your life that you overcome. And that's why the church is being still planted, because the Lord intercedes for you, intercedes for his church. And that should bring us comfort. But we also are to be aware and not just rely on that. That is our ultimate, what we rely on. But we also are to lament as well. May the Lord help us to understand the times of our day. But overall, keep pursuing the Lord Jesus Christ and relying upon him. May the Lord help us all. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you are the King of your church. You are the prophet and you are the priest. And, O Lord, we worship you. And we ask, O Lord, that you will forgive us of ways that we have not loved your church, in ways we have not sought to be obedient. Forgive us, O Lord, and cleanse us more and more each and every day. Help your people, O Lord. Help us to cry out, to be in prayer, to seek you more and more, and to love you and to honor you and to wait upon you. We pray all these things in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. And now we have a hymn of response, hymn number 5.